Naboth's integrity. If we were given this talk 20, 30, 40 years ago, you'd be getting a much different talk than you'd be hearing tonight. Because back then, there was very much talk of types and anti-types, which if you don't know what that means, the type is the initial event, which prefigures some greater fulfillment, the anti-type. And that was applied in this instance. But in recent years, we've had correction on this matter, that unless the scriptures explicitly says so, we do not interpret a type and anti-type in every situation in the Bible. So without an anti-type, what lessons should we be drawing from this account? In order to get into that, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. So this, we're going to get the account of what actually happened. Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard for me to use as a vegetable garden, for it is near my house. Then I will give you a better vineyard to replace it. Or if you prefer, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "It is unthinkable from Jehovah's standpoint for me to give you the inheritance of my forefathers." So notice the offer. There's nothing initially wrong with that. He made him a fair offer. In fact, he made him more than a fair offer. That wasn't the problem. The problem was Naboth wasn't legally allowed to give it to him. If we flip over to Leviticus chapter 25, in verse 23, right there in the first sentence, the land should not be sold on a permanent basis. And if we scan over the verses, it talks about the right of repurchasing. It talks about the Jubilee. Eventually, the land gets back into the original possession of the family inheritance. Ahab was apparently trying to keep this land in perpetuity. Thus, Naboth was in a bad situation. He had a decision to make, what to do. When the king asks you to do something, you're not exactly in a position to say no. He's the king. He is the law. But it also violates Jehovah's law. And then on top of that, of all of Jehovah's laws, is this one really the one worth dying over? We know what Naboth's answer was. It's not my choice to make. And how'd that work out for him? We know how that ends, unfortunately. Ahab's wicked wife Jezebel gets false men to accuse him, accusations that carried the death penalty. Unfortunately, Jehovah did not spare him from this fate. He was executed along with his family. And let's call it what this is. This was murder. It's state-sponsored murder, but it's murdered. The fact that there was a trial, a ridiculous trial, a ridiculous attempt at due process, doesn't change the fact that this was murder. Now, does this sound familiar to us? Is there anyone else in the Bible who you can think of who was charged with blasphemy, had a mockery of a trial, and then subsequently executed? Yes, the parallels are there. But is it an antitype? No, it's not an antitype. So what lessons can we draw from this? One, we don't get to decide what issues are worth dying over. We uphold Jehovah's standards. And if the state has a problem with that, that's between the state and Jehovah. That's got nothing to do with us. We know what we're supposed to do. And second, Satan's tactics don't change. He uses state-sponsored persecution in the past. He's doing it right now to our brothers in other lands. It's only a matter of time before it cycles around to us. But instead of panicking, wondering when we're in this situation, what am I going to do? We look at accounts like Naboth and draw courage from that. And it's when it comes time to take our stand beside them and make a courageous stand, we can say, we got this. It's our turn now.